Stephanie will first turn to the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 50, as it summarizes what Scripture teaches on the Lord's Prayer under the heading, "The Fourth Petition, Give Us This Day Our Daily Bread." So for those who want to read along, you find that the Heidelberg Catechism on page 895 of the Trinity Psalter Hymnal. This is where we've gotten so far in Vernon. I don't know. I'm guessing Reverend Rosema is still going through John and the Heidelberg Catechism, so maybe you've covered this one as you've gone through John. But either way, we'll connect this then also with a couple of verses from the letter of James. But first, Lord's Day 50. What does the fourth petition mean? "Give us this day our daily bread" means provide for all our physical needs, so that we may recognize that you are the only source of everything good, and that neither our care and work nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. Therefore, may we withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it in you alone. Now let's turn to the letter of James. We'll read the first 18 verses. The letter of James has quite a bit to say about prayer, but as it's kind of typical of the letter of James, it's spread out, but there's a lot, at least in that first chapter, that we can draw on this afternoon as we look at confidence, perspective, and humility in the fourth petition. So the Epistle of James, first 18 verses. This is the Word of God. "James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass. Its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we may be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." And so that's the reading of God's word for us this afternoon. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, any one of you here familiar with the concept of being hangry? Maybe some of you in your household, it's like 5 o'clock and like almost just clockwork. All the kids are just that much more crabby. And you're like, do I discipline them or do I just give them something to eat? Because soon enough, that will solve everything. Isn't it interesting something as simple as food, restoring our sugars, can improve our mood by so much. It may improve our mood by such a degree that we can get along. May actually be okay. And the opposite, that the lack of it has such a deep effect on us as well. It can put us in such a challenging mood. But then again, when you think about it just a little bit more, it shouldn't surprise us that much. And it says, in fact, it makes sense. As people, every part of us is connected. So that when we are, what we are dealing with physically, and that could be hunger, it could be pain, it's then also going to affect our mood. It's going to affect us emotionally. Yes, it may even affect us spiritually. And as we learn throughout the Bible, it's our desires, our wants, or what we may call our needs, like food, that will have that profound effect on us, not just in that way, in our mood, but in many other ways. You can even think of these scripture passages that speak about unbelievers and their desires, well, that their gods are their stomach, or their gods are their belly. Because they're following their desires and what they want, what they want to eat, and what they want to drink. Think of the Israelites in the Old Testament, how important a topic food was when they were in the desert, because they all depended on the Lord, and then they got manna, and then that was okay for a while, but they still didn't trust the Lord, and eventually got sick of manna, and how that all revealed a spiritual problem. And this afternoon we're going to think about ourselves. And so if there's a connection here where maybe that is a challenge, sometimes food may show us a spiritual difficulty, a spiritual challenge. It may affect us negatively. Maybe this afternoon we should also wonder, well, in what way can it affect us positively? And where do we need to be? What would be our mindset, our prayer to be for that to take place? If it can affect us so easily negatively, can it also affect us positively? And if we look at the Heidelberg Catechism, it actually does say yes. There is a positive point that is being made there. That as God knows what we need, and as He teaches us to pray for them in the right way, we don't just receive the food that we need with thanksgiving, but actually, as we do that, as we pray that, may grow spiritually, mature, and as the kind of the point that it makes there, that as we do this, we withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it in You alone. We grow spiritually. But to get there, we'll first consider the position of the fourth petition and what it actually teaches us. The placing of it in the Lord's Prayer, but also then what the wording itself teaches us. And actually kind of drawing into that the letter of James. And I think all three, petitions leading up to the fourth petition itself, and the letter of James, show three things: confidence, perspective, and humility being important. And so that'll be the refrain, the repetition in a way, different angles, but the repetition this afternoon. This afternoon we'll start by just considering then the position of the fourth petition. But as you go through the Lord's Prayer, know the prayer. It starts with, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And then, give us this day our daily bread. And it is important to note, of course, that Jesus, as He teaches us, puts that petition forth. Because in some ways, we may say that is, you know, the first true petition. And by that, I mean it's the first one where you're asking God for something for yourself. All the others have been very insightful, but they all focus on the Lord and God's kingdom and His will and His glory. This is the first one that actually turns towards ourselves, what our needs are, how we may function physically in our daily bread. Even that is striking, isn't it? That the Lord first focuses on our physical needs to pray for that before even drawing out the need for grace, the need for forgiveness, the need for power and strength and support in our spiritual walk. That's where He starts, though. Now, it stands out that Jesus first looks and teaches us to pray, to focus on his Father, his kingdom, and his will, and his glory, because that's not our natural inclination. Whenever we pray, what is most pressing upon us is likely what we are dealing with ourselves. And then we start moving to God, which is why so many lessons on prayer, and I'm sure you're familiar with these, try to make the same point Jesus does in saying, you know, pray according to that acronym, joy, Jesus, others, yourself. Pray to the acronym, according to the acronym, acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. I'm sure you've gone through catechism and have that lesson, or some acronyms, try to remember this. Because we all need this lesson and this reminder, and Jesus provides it in the prayer that he gives us, the Lord's Prayer. But it isn't just a lesson in who is first or what is first. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, its order also starts to affect the way that we pray the rest of the prayer. It starts to affect the things that we may ask God to give us. There are important lessons to be drawn in those three petitions that then affect the fourth. Like I said, we'll consider three: confidence, perspective, and humility. First, before we get to the things we want to ask for ourselves, we're given a reason for confidence. Think about how Jesus starts his prayer: Our Father in heaven. And that's a note of confidence. We may approach God on that footing of, you are our Father, and I am your child. You pray because you have that relationship with God. Not, you don't pray and you don't start focusing on him just because, you know, you have to somehow suck up to him. You have to somehow make clear to him that, well, you know, put him in a good mood, say the right thing. When we pray Father, we may, as Jesus makes so clear in many of his parables on prayer, you may expect that God will hear you as a father hears a child and will not refuse you good things. Jesus makes that strong point, doesn't he? When he says, you know, even you sinful, evil human beings, even sinful parents will still not give your children harmful things. So your heavenly Father will provide good things for you. God is our heavenly Father, will certainly hear our prayers and give us good things. This is also where we gain perspective with this confidence. Because it would be wrong to then right away jump saying, okay, we have confidence, and God will give us good things. That means that he's for sure going to give us everything we ask for. Why? Well, because as we gain confidence as God as a Father, we start to see that our views of things that we think we need, and that we may be tempted to ask of him, are skewed. Some of that is just straight up wrong. Scripture is always very clear about this, that we don't just need healing as in we need more things, but that we need healing also in the things that we ask for, the things that we desire, the things that we want, the things that are on our hearts and minds, that we be very skewed. Yes, even sinful. We need to have our eyes opened, which is so much of what those first petitions of the Lord's Prayer are about. Father, open up my eyes that I may see the glory of your name and hallow it. Treat it as holy. Treat it as so important and glorious. So that I have purpose and direction for my life. And I'm just going to look for that myself. Lord, open up my eyes. May your kingdom come. Let me see your kingdom and put my hope in it. Not in that kind of kingdom that I can build for myself. And in fact, the kind of kingdom that you may be actually building as you're asking different things from God. Lord, let me realize that my will is sinful, deeply flawed, so that what I want to do are the wrong things, and that what I need is for you to set me straight. I may follow your will. If we truly and honestly pray those first three petitions, we gain perspective. We start to see where we're going, what we're going to ask for about ourselves in a different light and from a different angle. As we start to see it from God's view, from our Heavenly Father's point of view. And that perspective will then also humble us. Gaining perspective opens up our eyes and starts to show us our wrongs, and you gain the realization that not everything you're going to ask for is actually even going to be good. Necessary. It's your parents who are here this afternoon. Ask yourself, could you in good conscience give your kids everything they asked you for? And your kids who are here this afternoon, have you ever realized how what your parents denied you was actually good? It's like, oh yeah, I should not have asked for that. That wouldn't have worked out. Sometimes things seem like the most amazing thing at the time, but you look back and realize, no. Thankfully, it's someone who kept you from it. But here's the beauty of things. As God is a parent, and He's not just a guardian trying to keep us safe and keep us from harming ourselves. You know, think about how you as a parent may deny your kid one thing and yet say, okay, I can't give you this, but I can give you. Do you try to think alongside of those? It's try to think, like, what is this need or this request actually coming from, and how may I address it in a healthy way? How may I give them not just what they ask for, but what they're actually seeking for and need more than anything? As we learn to pray for God's kingdom and God's will, we learn to humble ourselves in the fact that we need God's wisdom and His direction in order to receive the good things that we actually need. And have that confidence that yes, that is even what He's going to give us. That's what He's promised to give us as a Father. And not those things that actually may be harmful. And when our prayer has been characterized by that confidence, perspective, and humility, now start to think how these things then also influence what Jesus teaches us to pray in the fourth petition, and how we may pray that. As also illustrated, I think, so well how James has taken all those teachings of Jesus and put it in his letter. Just think, fourth petition, give us this day our daily bread. There's wonderful confidence in it, isn't there? I think there's like that confidence in that one word, give. I mean, maybe not even often think about that, but there's amazing confidence in that word. Not least, first of all, that we may come to God and think, this is a God who would be willing to give us something. Yes, who would be willing to give us our daily bread. That He is such a gracious giver. That prayer isn't about you trying to barter with God, saying, oh Lord, this is what I'm going to do for you, now could you also give me this? And prayer is also not where you make a watch it or a list of like, this is all that I have already done. And somehow, maybe now, Lord, if I give to say the right thing, the right words, somehow you owe me this. Prayer is not a technique. And it's not bartering. In other words, it's not an exchange of goods somehow between you and God. And when you come to the fourth petition, you have to realize that there's been wonderful confidence in that one word. Give. Just give me, Lord. Because you're gracious, because you are good, because I know you as a gracious giver. I don't have to earn this from you. I don't have to try to some kind of trade-off with you. Gotta be bold. Gotta be confident to do that, to pray that. That's what Jesus teaches us. That's what James is getting at. In those verses we read, he tells us to be confident. Saying, if anyone lacks wisdom, pray for it. But don't be double-minded about it. Don't think like, maybe God may be able to provide it, but maybe I have to do this myself. Maybe somehow I'll find it elsewhere. But just to give it a shot, I'll ask God. No, be confident that He is will willingly and readily give you because of who He is. How every good and gracious gift comes from above. Know who God is, and in your heart, don't doubt that you have to earn something, or that somehow you have to measure up to be good enough, that you couldn't possibly maybe ask God for something until you're good enough. Be confident, as Christ has taught us. Especially when it comes to those things that God has promised. But in that request, there's also that sense of this sense of perspective and humility. And because they always go together, don't want to separate them too sharply. But just consider the fourth petition, give us this day our daily bread. There's perspective and humility in it. Just think. Don't those words, this day, have been a built-in sense of perspective? I mean, we're so used to the probably, you know, we do groceries, it's like we're thinking a week ahead. You probably, if I go to your houses and, you know, there's somewhere, there's a cupboard and there's a lot of food for another week. When it comes to finances, we're not just thinking short term, like how are we going to get by tomorrow? We're thinking long term and retirement and weeks beyond. And it could very well be that we're always looking forward without pausing to consider that what and that God has supplied today. And because we fail to see what He has done for us today, we lose perspective on what we may be confident He will do in the future. Because perspective isn't just about like who we are and then who God is, but also getting our perspective on time and what God's care may look like. Yes, also getting a perspective on who we really are and how we can only live moment by moment by moment, one day at a time, and every moment, this is important, every moment and every day, as we say, give us this day our daily bread, we are dependent on the Lord. So we may sometimes pray almost as if, you know, Lord, if you just supply me with this job, then I'm good to go for the rest. I can take care of myself. Or Lord, if you get me ready for retirement, then I'm good. And I will have no concern, no anxiety, no worry anymore. I'm independent. Or Lord, if you just give me health, then I won't ask for anything else. As if we fail to realize that yes, the day after you're going to be dependent on the Lord, and the day after that you're going to be dependent on the Lord, and you need Him every day. Be reliant on Him every day. And we're never praying to Him today so that we may be somehow independent in the future, or self-sufficient in a week or a year from now. And perspective teaches us that is, so when we pray that, that's a wonderful place to be. Safe in His hands, reliant on Him. James seems to put it so well when he says that, you know, God is the Father of lights, in whom, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. You know, that picture of God, He's the one who created the stars, moon, everything we see in the sky. You know, our perspective changes with time. Time changes, our circumstances change, right? The seasons change, and what we may need, or the stage in life changes. Let me be very honest, that often also that means that our prayers change, and what we think that we need for this stage, or for this week, may be different than next week. James says, just consider who God is throughout it all. Unchanging, always the giver of good gifts. But that may give you perspective for today. And when you reach tomorrow, then again, next year, and on. And lastly, there's also that note of humility. Jesus teaches us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. There's actually one text in the Old Testament that is very similar to this in Proverbs 30, in the prayer of Hagar, where he says, you know, Lord, give me neither riches nor poverty, but only my daily bread. And Agur explains why he asked for that. He says, Lord, don't make me too rich so that I somehow think I can live without you. And also don't make me too poor that somehow I think I've got to have to just look after my own self and start to steal and cheat or cut corners. And it's the book of Proverbs, so you know it's going to be about wisdom. And isn't that there great wisdom in that? Where Agur saw it, and I'm like, no, Lord, give me what I can handle because I know my desires are going to pull me in whatever direction, whatever the circumstances are going to be. Or it's going to try to pull me away. I could do it without you. I could do it without you. Not realizing it. We don't really know what is good or safe for us. So pray, no, Lord, give me what I need. Give me what is good. Give me what I can handle and what I need to serve you. This wasn't the point made in the verses in James that we read, but later on in the letter of James, in chapter 4, he makes this point about prayer again. In chapter 4, verse 3, he says, "Now you ask, and you do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures." He says, look at your prayers, and look what you're asking for. Are you just asking something that will allow you to do what you want to do? Not consider what is right, or what is good, or what the Lord has called you to do. Are your prayers just like your life, being led by your desires? Therefore, there's that strong warning in James. Yes, prayer, powerful, confident perspective. Do it in humility, which, of course, is also the very next verse the Lord goes to in James chapter 4. Humility. Jesus teaches us confidence, humility, the perspective and humility leading up to the fourth petition and in the fourth petition. And when we see that, we understand just how, as the Catechism says, we may prepare ourselves that, yes, when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, that petition, what he gives us, may not draw us away from him, but to him, and draw us away from everything else, to put our trust in him, that may affect us rightly, as it teaches us exactly that confidence, perspective, and humility in faith. So that our physical needs, our daily bread, may affect us positively spiritually. And that it may even do so, yes, when we struggle to pray. Just this last thing, consider also this afternoon. Where does that confidence, perspective, and humility come from? And realize this afternoon that as you seek to pray like that, as you seek to pray the Lord's Prayer, it's not just comes from being what you pray for. This exactly, especially when you maybe struggle to put this into practice, and you're like, I always trust the Lord, you'll provide me for tomorrow, and I worry about it, and I don't know what to do. This is why we seek the Lord, or the God, as the giver of every good gift, above all. Not because he just taught us how to pray, not just because he's the giver of good gifts in the abstract, but I think James says it so wonderfully. He says he's the giver of good gifts, the Father of light, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we may be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. God is the giver of good gifts above all because of the new life he has given us in Jesus Christ. The Father of lights is our Father, not because we've learned to pray rightly, but because of the new birth he has given us. And that new standing in his family, and the new life that is promised. So that all of our fumbling in prayer, all of the ways that we've been affected negatively by what we pray, by our sinful desires that are behind it, we may know and lay before the Lord as like, Lord, this is the old life. Grant me that new life that you've promised and given to me. Give it to me in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. As he has given us so much, as he's given us that life, how can we not be confident with perspective and in humility that he will give us this day our daily bread? Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God and Father, our hearts rejoice as we hear your wonderful word and confess within our hearts that you are the Father of lights and that every good and perfect gift is from above. And so, Father, as we meditate on this afternoon during our week, Father, would you instill upon us that beautiful confidence that our worship, our prayer, every way that we address you and come before you is not bartering, is not an exchange. It's that wonderful, on the basis of the wonderful reality that you give. You have given us new life. You have given us your Son. You continue to provide for us each day. And so we may have then that perspective that you will also give for us tomorrow and the day after and the day after. You will watch over us because you care for us. Yes, you have, that we are the first fruits of that harvest that is to come of your new creation. And that we may know that in that project and in that process, Father, you will not fail, you will not give up, that you will continue to give us all that we need to see that new kingdom come, that new creation appear. And so would you also then be with us? Father, each one of us may be in different ways challenges in the week to come to withdraw our trust from those things around us and to place it only in you. And would you be near to us? Would you provide for us, yes, in daily bread? Would you provide for us financially when we are needy? Would you provide for us for work when we're looking for it? Would you provide for us with safe travels when we have long distances to go? Would you provide for us in all these different ways each day again? Would you provide for us with your grace and peace that our trust really would increase and increase in you, and that we would have those eyes open to see your work around us, and not just around us, but in our very own lives and in our hearts, so that we would more and more with confidence affirm that every good and perfect gift is from above. Father, watch over those that have a special need, whether that is because of illness, whether that is because of circumstances, whether that is because of pregnancy and expectations there. Father, we know that you are the Father of that new life in Christ. We also know that you are the Father of every life here on earth. Continue to watch over it, guard it, protect it, and nourish it. And be with us all in this coming week. Would you keep us safe? Gather us again together next week that we may sing your praises and affirm your goodness. We ask all this in Christ's name alone. Amen.